live in a culture today, and we have a lot of pressure in our culture. But there are some advantages of pressure, some advantages of some difficult times that we face. And that's what I want to talk about today in the next few minutes, to try to get us to understand and realize that there are benefits in pressure. There are some advantages of being under pressure. We look at a man by the name of Joseph as we go to Genesis chapter 50, a man that certainly had problems and pressure and quite a bit of resistance. By the way, pressure is sort of thought of nowadays as a bad word, like work and honesty and decency. But pressure is not always bad. Pressure can be good for us. And pressure is also, another way of saying it, is resistance. Pressure is resistance. We need to resist the resistance. Keep that thought in your mind. Resisting the resistance. Genesis chapter 50, let's look at beginning at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they did a lot of evil to him, didn't they? They really did. They mistreated him, abused him, left him for dead, sold him out. They didn't care what happened to him, and went back and lied about it to their father and so on and so forth. Now Jacob dies, and they're really worried. Well, now what's Joseph going to do that Papa's gone? And he's going to take advantage. And so verse 16 says, "They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil." There's that pressure. There's that resistance that they gave him. "And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I don't think they were telling the truth about this. They were scared to death, but they went and approached him in that vein, in that kind of thinking. And his brethren also, verse 18, went and fell down before his face. Joseph wept, he cried, and they fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Get that. Fear not, for I'm exactly where God put me. All of those pressures, all of those trials, all of those things, all of the resistance you gave me, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. You resisted me and you gave me problems. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And he was actually saving the whole Jewish race, really. God put him in that place. So pressure comes in our life, but it's not necessarily bad. There are advantages of being under pressure. But we need to resist the resistance, because resisting the resistance makes us strong. And just keep that in your mind, that resisting the difficulties, resisting the pressure, resisting the resistance makes us strong. That's why people exercise, so they can resist the resistance and it makes them strong. The reason you see three Hulks up here on the platform this morning is because of our dedication to exercise. If you could go to my office, you would notice I have a desk, and I maybe run four laps around it every day to get my exercise. My other dog died. I'm fixing to buy a new dog, and the new dog is going to have an interesting name. I'm going to name it 5 Miles. So when I go to the doctor and he says, "Are you exercising?" I will say, "I walked 5 miles today." Maybe in the backyard, maybe around the house. I don't know. So name it 10 miles, whatever you want to, whatever you think you can get away with. But we are, when we're exercising, we are resisting gravity, aren't we? I'm standing here today, and most of you are sitting, and you're not exercising, but I'm exercising. I'm resisting gravity. If you raise your hand, you're resisting gravity. If you get up out of a chair, which some people seem to have a problem nowadays, but if you get on up out of that chair, you're resisting gravity. You're resisting resistance. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. It's called exercise, and it's exercising your body, resisting the resistance. So resisting the resistance makes us strong. And then secondly, removing resistance results in failure. Removing the resistance results in failure. Joseph hadn't had resistance. If he could have just removed it, he wouldn't have been successful like he was, but he was. We go to the doctor and we say, "Doctor, I feel bad. I feel badly." And the doctor says, well, you know what he's going to say. We pay him $75 to insult us. And he says, "What you need to do is exercise. I feel bad. Well, exercise." And he's saying, resist the resistance. Exercise and you'll feel better. But then when it comes to the emotions, and you say, "I feel bad," and you're not talking about the physical part, but the emotional part, and I'm sort of blue, and I'm sort of down, and I'm sort of depressed, and I'm sort of this, that, and the other. He doesn't say resist the resistance there. Usually, he says you need to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, maybe. And they take the opposite position when it comes to the emotions as they do to the physical. And I think that we need to keep in the principle that Psalm 1 says that we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There are too many people, rather than letting God solve it with His Word, go to psychologists and psychiatrists when they really don't need them, and they really go back to the Freudian philosophy in all of those ways, and they try to force that upon Christians, so you have unsaved people telling you, as a Christian, what you need to do emotionally so you can get right with God. And I've counseled a lot of people over 46 years, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. But I've had people come in. I've had young teenage women, young ladies come into my office, maybe the parent came with them, and they were having a lot of problems, and we talked and we discussed the thing. They brought them to the pastor. I showed them in the Bible what the Bible said was the problem and what they needed to do. They took that and did it, and now they're doing fine. And I've seen others who took them to the worldly counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists who gave them the world's secular view on things and gave them some bad advice, and they are still having problems. I see it as a pastor. And please understand, I'm not trying to be hateful or mean. I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes we just need to do what God says to do and understand that some of the pressures we have are not all bad. And so some people go and they say, "Well, I'm under pressure," and the doctor says, "We need to get out from under pressure." And so Sunday school teachers quit their class. Bus captains and bus workers quit their routes. People in the choir drop out of the choir. And others who are serving in ministry somewhere say, "Well, the doctor told me I'm under pressure, so I've got to quit all this pressure." Pressure is not all bad. Pressure can be good for you. That's like saying to a guy who lifts free weights, "Just get under the weights and fall down." That's really going to do you a lot of good. No, he needs to get under the weights and press those weights and let the resistance help out. And so removing resistance results many times in failure. And then thirdly, unresisted pressure causes collapse. These are similar, but it can cause collapse. As I said, people have emotional problems, and many times what they do is they talk about the pressure. They're always talking about, "Well, I'm under pressure, I'm under pressure." Or they're always examining the pressure. Let's examine the pressure. Are they always thinking about the pressure? Oh, my soul, I'm under pressure. I'm under pressure. I've got some pressure at my job. And here then, you know, I've got pressure in college. I've got pressure in school. I've got pressure at home. I have all of this. We're thinking about, talking about, examining pressure all the time. And sometimes we focus too much on that, and we fail to understand what God is saying to us and what God's wanting to do with us by allowing this pressure. I've seen families in churches where I've pastored these years where the wife maybe was very ill in the home and the husband seemed to be getting along real good. But then all of a sudden something happened to the husband and the wife couldn't function very well, couldn't do a whole lot, but something happened to the husband and there was resistance there, there were problems there, and I've seen the wife, in some cases it's been the other way, but I've seen the wife get up and get going and do things that she never dreamed she was able to do, but because the pressure came in her life, she had to get up and face the resistance and resist the resistance and take care of her husband and would do a wonderful job of it because they resisted the resistance. Burdens are not fun. We have burdens. What Joseph went through was not fun. It was very difficult for him. But sometimes the reason some people go, and again, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I want you to hear and think about what I'm saying. Some people, they go from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor all the time because they focus on self and they focus on their burden way too much. Therefore, they become almost spiritual hypochondriacs in their relationship. Listen, there are burdens that are good for us. Now, I'm not saying that you could never get under too much pressure. There may be those times that it could happen. What I'm saying is most of us don't get under that much pressure. And I'm saying that most who think they are under that kind of pressure probably really are not under that kind of pressure. Pressure can be good for us. You see, the people who are under the most pressure are able to, because of that pressure, help the people who are not under pressure or under very little pressure because they resist the resistance and they fight that pressure and they grow in the Lord and then they can help somebody else out because of that. Why is that so? Why is that true in the life of even the believer? Because those under most pressure, those who are under that pressure, are strong enough to help those that have pressure. They've been there, they know. And those with heavier loads are able to help those with lighter loads. So God's not trying to hurt you when he allows you to get under pressure. He may be building you up spiritually so that you can help a lot of other people along the way to carry the pressure. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, take up my fun. No. Jesus said, take up my easy life. No. Take up my cross and follow me. And I think that implies some hurting, some pressure. The cross put pressure on his back, and these things put pressure on our back. So we don't need as Christians to be whining and griping and complaining and feeling sorry for ourselves all the time and not understanding that God gives you some of the problems and some of the pressures and me some of the problems and pressures to build us up, to make us strong so that we don't fall apart. You don't have to fall apart and go all to pieces because you're under pressure. You have to look to God. I say it very kindly, some of us need to call off our pity parties. Amen? Really. Some of us need to call off our pity parties. We say, take away my burden. That may not be scriptural sometimes. Take away my burden. We say, give me strength to carry my burden. That may not be scriptural. Because maybe God gave you the burden to make you strong. And we are made strong by the burden. Not just made strong for the burden, but by the burden. And God gives us problems, and God gives us pressure, and God lets these things come into our lives. And I go back to the illustration of weightlifters. Weightlifters, they don't look at the weights and say, oh, my soul, look at those weights. I hate those weights. I don't want to lift those weights. Those weights are a problem. Those weights are a burden. What they do is get those weights and they start lifting them because they know that that's going to build up their muscles, and they know that that's what they need to accomplish what they want to accomplish. They don't go around whining about the load. They just pick up the load and go with it and build up their physical muscles in order to accomplish the physical feats that they should accomplish. We had a guy one time that was the strongest man in America, and he pulled one of our vans with his teeth that were loaded with people. I don't know how many, we put about 15 people or so in a church van and rigged up a deal, and he put them in his mouth and he pulled those. Now later on he pulled some of his teeth out. Wasn't at our church, but that guy was the strongest man at that time in the world. But he got strong by picking up those weights and doing what he did. And he was a very, very strong man. I was very kind to him when he was with us at the church. For 46 years of pastoring, there's been a great deal of pressure. And a lot of people say, well, pastors just have it easy. They don't have much to do. They wait around for the phone to ring, and they preach once on Sunday or twice on Sunday, maybe once on Wednesday. The rest of the week, they're bored. Well, if you believe that, you'd become a preacher. You know that? Those people who say that preachers are lazy, why don't you become a preacher? Why don't you become a pastor, a full-time worker? There's so much to do, and there's a lot of pressure in leadership, and I'm not complaining or whining about it. I'm just saying that I've been able to turn those things over to God for 46 years and say, God, you handle them. You give me the strength. You've allowed these things to come in my life. Many times, it was good for me. It purged out some things that I needed purging out. It made me stronger. I turned it over to God, and I saw what God could do, and it built up my faith and gave me some courage that I would not have had. And so I hope that some of those things have been helpful to other people as I've had the privilege and the responsibility to pastor those people. Some people say, well, I just need to get it off my chest. No, what you need to do is pick it up and press it. Press the burden. Sometimes just getting it off of your chest, getting on the phone and telling somebody else is not the cure to the problem. And you say, but preacher, you're just not sympathizing with me. Sometimes you don't need sympathy. Sometimes what you need to do is sympathize with other people. Quit sympathizing and expecting it for yourself. So we need to learn to resist resistance. Resist it in your mental exercise and spiritual exercise. Here's what I'm saying. If you want to be unselfish, then resist selfishness. That makes sense, doesn't it? You say, well, I'm sort of selfish. Well, resist selfishness and you'll become unselfish. If you want to learn to work, then resist laziness. That'd be a chore and a challenge for some people. But if you want to learn how to work, don't be a lazy person. If you want to be generous, then practice not being selfish. Resist selfishness. If you want to persevere and get the job done, then resist quitting. Quitters are a dime a dozen. Those who stay in and keep going, thank God for them. They have the grit. All have resistance. Some Christians don't have the grit. But we need to have the courage, the spiritual fortitude, the grit to pick up our load. And we need to get our spiritual heart pumping before Almighty God. The spiritual heart needs that also. Don't look at the load, friend. Look at the Savior who can take care of your load. That may be why He's allowed it to come to you. Look at the Savior. I played football in high school, and I promise you I never liked practice. There may have been some that liked it. I didn't find too many that liked it. How many of you athletes, former athletes, loved practice all the time? I mean, you just loved it. Not many hands go up. I didn't like it too much, but I sure did like it on Friday night when we won the game. I liked it whenever we had paid the price and we won the game. And so we need to understand that. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. And there's a cross for you too. Maybe a number of crosses. Well, our burdens can become blessings if we let them become blessings. We have them, but they can become blessings. In 1948, there was a hurricane in New England. A bad, terrible hurricane. And they had announced it was coming. There was one railroad trestle and track that they needed desperately. And they figured that the hurricane was going to just wipe it out. And the power of the wind would destroy it. But there was an engineer who said, I have an idea and I think it'll work. He said, let's back up a train, a heavy bunch of cars on that trestle, on that railroad track, and I believe it'll hold. And my dear friend, because of the weight of the train, it held up and it provided what they needed after the hurricane came through, and they needed it. And so sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes your enemies can become your friends. Well, that's what Joseph's brothers were. They were his enemies for a while, but they became his friend, Joseph's brothers. And sometimes we might ought to thank our enemies. I've had some along the way in the ministry, but you know what? They taught me to pray. Pray a little harder, pray a little deeper. Depend on God a little bit more. And some of my enemies, I have a great deal of thanksgiving to give them today. Because of their being my enemies, I was able to get closer to the Lord because of the problems that they gave me over the years. And I could share a lot of stories with you, I won't, but I can tell you that it wasn't pleasant. I can tell you it wasn't pleasant for Joseph to go through what Joseph went through. When his brothers mistreated him like they did, it was a horrible experience for him. Judas mistreated the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus call him? He said, friend. Boy, that took courage and understanding and perfect wisdom on the part of the God-man Jesus Christ to say to Judas, friend. Here's what he is saying, I think. You, Judas, have betrayed me and you've brought me to the place and put this load upon me, and I'm going to be crucified for the salvation of the whole world, that the whole world might be saved. The pressure that Judas put on Jesus was for you and me today to benefit from. Thank God he was able to do that. Peter said, I'm not going to let him get you, Lord. You know what Jesus said to him? Get thee behind me, what? Satan. He said, you don't get involved in that, Peter. I'm here for a reason, and these things are happening for a reason, and one of the best things is that I'm going to be able to help people to be saved and the people to come to a saving knowledge of myself and get behind me. Let God carry out his program and his plan, and I'm going to suffer because of it. So sometimes your best friend may be your enemy. Now, we shouldn't go out and try to make enemies. So, well, I'll make enemies so I can have some good friends that'll help me out. But your best friend may be your biggest person that can help you. And sometimes they could be your enemy if you don't react right. Now, what do you need, and what you think you need may not be the very same thing. As a believer, what you need, really need, and what you think you need may not be the same thing. Here's the way we say it. Again, I go back to this. I just need somebody to listen to me. I just need somebody to listen to me. And that's all right sometimes. Or we say this, nobody cares. I want you to think about that statement. Nobody cares. And some people say, nobody understands my pressure. Nobody understands my burden. Nobody understands the resistance I'm facing. I got a question for you. Where and who is God? Where and who is God? Nobody cares. What about the God who made man? What about the God who brought a universal flood on this earth? What about the God that let him cross the Red Sea without drowning and protected him? What about the God that opened up the river so they could cross over the river and be saved? What about the God that worked miracle after miracle in the wilderness? What about God who could do all of that? That God is still alive, my dear friend, and that God can help you. Where is God? He's still in the same place. Who is God? He's still the same God with all the power he's ever had to see you through whatever it is. The problem is too many Christians are atheists. So that can't work. But think of what I'm saying. We act like we're atheists. We panic and fall apart, and we don't let the pressure build us up. We let it tear us down. And some people get so angry at God, and they quit on God and quit on the church and do all of that. That's not why God allows that to come in our heart. Where is God? God is on the throne, and God will meet your need if you'll go to him and let him meet your need. You're not an atheist. I like the little chorus, the little song, "I'm happy in the Lord anyway. And it really doesn't matter what comes my way today. I'm going to wear a smile and hold my head up high and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. Whatever comes, let's be happy in the Lord." And I'm not, as I said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'll put my load beside your load, and I'll pick up my load and carry it by the grace of God, with the help of God. And that's what all of us should do. We cannot be strong unless we learn as Christians to resist the resistance, to resist the pressure. I'm not saying you never have a heavy load. We do. But I'm saying you're come near not falling apart, cracking up, losing it emotionally, and quitting on God if you'll resist the resistance the way God said, resist the resistance. And then it'll build up your faith, and then you can help others as they build up their faith. So carry it, and don't just look at it. Pick it up and press it. Don't just complain about it and worry about it and fret about it. If you'll do that, it'll build you up in your faith. And may I say to you, if you're unsaved, you've got a load you can't carry alone. You've got a load that only Jesus can satisfy, and that is the guilt of your sin, and that means that Jesus is the only one that can help you with that. And you need to come to him today if you're not saved and sure you're going to heaven. He'll take that load of sin off of you, and he'll take care of it, and then you'll learn to live and accept the things that God brings in your life. And no, it may be that he's allowed some things to come your way right now, and you don't understand, and you don't want them, and they're tough, and they're rough, and yet it's God saying to you, I want to get your attention so that you'll get saved and come to Christ. You'll be born again. What we need to do is do exactly what the choir was singing about earlier, be strong in the Lord. And we need to resist resistance. And rather than letting it get us down, let it build us up to make us strong Christians for the glory of God. How are you handling your problems today? How are you handling your resistance that's coming your way today? By God's grace, do like Joseph did. Joseph said, "Men, you don't understand. You meant it for harm. I know it was for good, and God has used this for his glory." And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Let's stand, please. As a believer, before we have our prayer, I want to ask you the question, are you resisting resistance? Are you seeing the advantages of being under pressure? Seeing what God wants to do. Resisting resistance makes us strong. Removing it can make us failures. And we can collapse if we don't learn by faith to resist the resistance and the advantages when we're under pressure. Father, may you encourage the believer today, Lord. Help us not to go to the world for our answers, but to you, to the Word of God. So often, there it is, the answer right in front of us. And I pray that we would learn what to do with these pressures of life, these problems of life. And know that pressure is not a bad word, it's a good word. Help us to learn to trust you and resist it. Build up our faith for your honor and glory. God, I know there's some people here today that have some pressure. I pray they'd turn it over to you today. Bring it down to an old-fashioned altar. Pray about it. Give it to you. I pray that the lost would be saved. May your will be done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.